Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the process of purifying thought by eliminating the influence from the material senses. Listen as we discuss the value of knowing the difference between mental material conjecture and divine truth. In this show, we will explain why Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 445, line 15, "You render the divine law of healing obscure and void when you weigh the human in the scale with the divine or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and reveal the divine law of life. Swami, the title of today's show is Separating the Wheat from the Tares. Could you explain that title to us?
Yeah, I think what we're talking about here is differentiating between the language of spirit, which is silence, and the activity of spirit, which is stillness. Instead of thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on the information from the corporeal senses, in here we want to start to learn how to make the mind an avenue of awareness for the invisible, intangible divine creation. Let the divine idea fill awareness with pure consciousness until the birth of Christ in consciousness. We watch, we wait, we listen, and we let the light of divine truth illuminate our thought. This is what is meant by pure of heart or pure of thought. And so in this process, the idea of separating the wheat from the tares, separating the divine idea from human conjecture, mortal thought, because between divine reality, the truth of being, and consciousness lies this world mind, the mortal mind, this mental material veil that is preventing us from seeing what we will call the truth. Life is perfect.
So you said instead of thinking and forming thoughts and opinions based on the information that we get from our senses, you said make the mind an avenue of awareness for the divine creation. I think that sounds a little bit easier said than done.
Yeah, the invisible, intangible omnipresence of the divine creation is not an easy catch. It doesn't report in the five corporeal sense mind. And so what we're really looking for is nothing, the void. And what we don't understand is that this process of thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the material senses, short circuits the divine idea. It creates an interference pattern. And so as long as we keep thinking, we obscure the presence of the perfection of being, the truth of being. So by stopping thinking, and again, like you say, I mean, that's not an easy task. At least in Kriya Yoga, we perform things like pranayama. We have a whole science that gives us a relationship between what we will call life-sustaining force number one, thought, and life-sustaining force number two, breath. And that relationship is the duration of a thought equals the duration of a breath. So here you can at least begin to control your rate of thinking, but it won't control the content of your thought. The next thing that we start to understand is this idea of repent in the Bible. Repentance, this turning or thinking differently, really referred to the shift from thinking with the five material senses to activating your seven spiritual senses. In the book of Revelations in the Bible, John kind of lays this whole thing out. And we have been doing this because we practice Kriya Yoga, because the seven churches in Revelations correspond with the seven chakras in Kriya Yoga. But these also have representation in consciousness. They represent levels of consciousness, degrees of awareness. And then we have to connect the dots. We have to make that internal adjustment so that you can take the instruction that you get from Scripture and you can apply it to a real life practice that you employ where you can start to separate the tares from the wheat, where you can make a clear distinction between the divine idea and human conjecture.
Well, I think that opens up another avenue of discussion, because how would we know the thought that comes into our mind is from the divine idea or if it's just a mortal thought?
Well, we start with knowing you have divine mind. Divine mind only knows divine truth. And so anything that has a mortal appearance, a person, a place, a thing, you have to know that it didn't come from divine mind. And I think for a lot of us, that's an enormous stretch. But again, we're not looking for something that is dualistic. Anything that appears in your material senses is separate from the unified state. And so we start with silence and stillness. And by stopping thinking in that silence and stillness, not just the absence of noise or activity, but keeping your mind aware for this divine omnipresence, and we wait for what is called the birth of Christ. Christ is the saving aspect of truth. Christ is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. And when we have this realization, when our thought becomes illuminated by the divine idea, you're activating your seven spiritual senses. But you can't have both. You can't be conscious of the five material senses and conscious of your seven spiritual senses at the same time. You can't put an infinite mind in a finite body. So again, there's quite a bit of preparatory work that must be in place for us.
So I'm interested in this concept of a message from the divine. If I am sitting in silence and in stillness and a thought comes to me, but what's attached to that thought is, like you said, a person or a place, then I know that's coming from my own mortal mind and not divine mind. Am I understanding that correctly?
Right. And then what you also have to understand is consciousness is experience. What is appearing in your conscious awareness is the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. The one thing that we know about the divine creation is that it is absolute goodness. And so all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine creation. Now, when experiences do not have the qualities of the divine, the peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, we have to know that that definitely did not come from the divine creation. But by the same token, you also know that whatever is appearing in your five material senses is not the divine truth. You're only using that to give you an indicator of what you are conscious of. That becomes the mistake when we think what is appearing in our material senses is real. Then we remain at this level of consciousness. We never get out of the personal sense of self. The idea here is not to just work with what is appearing in your material senses. The goal isn't finite good. We understand that with thought and with belief, we can change finite bad to finite good. But you're still under the law of karma. You're still in the cycle of death and rebirth. What we're looking for is liberation, freedom from that cycle of death and rebirth. And you can't get that with the mortal mind, which means that we have to shift from material to spiritual. We don't even want to go from material to mental. We want to go from mental material to spiritual, because spirit functions in the one. There isn't any opposition in spirit. Spirit is whole, it's complete. Whereas duality is contrast, it's conflict, and it's in part, it's not whole.
So when we think in these opposites that you say, you know, good and bad and him and her, these are all opposites. So once we have that, then our mind is not stayed on thee, as they say in the Bible, because God is oneness. And when we think two-ness, we can't do both at the same time. Is that right?
Right. And it's even a little bit deeper than what we're saying here, because it really comes down to understanding yourself spiritually, to understand I am one with the divine creative principle. This one perfect divine life needs absolutely nothing. We rest in the knowledge. Life is perfect. It can't be anything less. And then also we come out of the belief in the many. There's only one life. There's only one perfect divine life. And anything that does not understand that to be true has a belief in something other than the one. And so there's your polarization. That was the first polarization, the split from unity, the fall from Eden in the Bible.
So I believe that you're right in saying to stop thinking is a big challenge for us. I've read meditation books and they say, oh, when a thought just comes in, just let it go by. And I find, well, that begets another thought and then another thought. Based on the Kriya Yoga practice, how can we try to eliminate these thoughts from coming in when we're trying to find that sense of stillness and peace?
Yeah, for me, offense is always your best defense. You stop thinking, but at the same time, you start knowing. And it takes quite a bit of practice and discipline to really make your mind aware for what is invisible and intangible. But with perfect practice, when divine idea begins to illuminate your thought, now you have a go-to. The silence and stillness, when it is filled with divine truth, opens you up to the kingdom of heaven on earth. You are now perceiving what your five material senses cannot know. But the preparatory work that leads up to this is this idea of putting the personal sense of self in the tomb. I really like what the Bible says in John 16:7. I'll read it. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, end of quote. We don't become divine mind. we let go of the belief in a personal sense of self with a separate mind. And this idea of stopping thinking, because the false sense of self is a creation of the mortal mind. It is world thought made visible. And by us stopping thinking, we stop creating that which isn't under the jurisdiction of the divine creative principle. And then in silence and stillness, we wait on this birth of Christ. The mind of Christ perceives the divine creation. So the blue screen that you may start out with, where you're watching, you're waiting, you're listening, and you're letting divine mind take over the scientific government of your body. Because once divine mind illuminates your thought, it will resolve things into thoughts. It will exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. It will change what is appearing in your corporeal senses. That's the miracle.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to talk about the Mary Baker Eddy quote that is in our opening, and I'll read it. It's from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 445, line 15. You render the divine law of healing obscure and void when you weigh the human and the scale with the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God. End of quote. Can you give us your thoughts on this?
Yes, she certainly does say a lot, but you can't mix the finite with the infinite. You can't mix material, mental with spiritual. She follows up with what she says after that on the same page, and I'll read it. Christian Science silences human will, quiets fear with truth and love, and illustrates the unlabored motion of the divine energy in healing the sick. Self-seeking, envy, passion, pride, hatred, and revenge are cast out by the divine mind which heals disease. The human will, which maketh and worketh a lie, hiding the divine principle of harmony, is destructive to health and is the cause of disease rather than its cure. End of quote. Here she's really telling us that what we're experiencing, what we're calling life, isn't life at all. That between the divine idea, the truth of being, the divine creation, and our consciousness is this mental material belief system. It's just a thought about what's really here, but it's not real. It's not backed by the divine principle. Spirit is the only self-existent power in this universe, and we have to learn how to master it and put it off. Because if we don't, you can't mix the human with the divine. And so that becomes a big part of your practice. You're not trying to make things better. You're trying to let go of the belief that they're not.
I like it when she talks about the human will, which maketh and worketh a lie. And because we've been talking a lot recently in these last shows about my will and thy will. So I kind of get a lot out of that.
Yeah, and this human will is driven by fear. Fear is a defense mechanism for the false sense of self. And when you look where we are collectively as a people, that's what we're developing, is this false sense of self. And we're trying to figure out how the unreal became real rather than resting in the knowledge God is running a perfect universe. We're living in the wrong self. Repent. Think differently.
And I like what you said early in the program when you said a personal sense of self short circuits the divine principle.
Yeah. And once you start to realize that's creating and perpetuating this problem that we're all trying to fix, then you let it go.
So may I say that we have something here from Herb Fitch that maybe we can play for our listeners?
Yeah, this is a soundbite from Realization of Oneness, Class 1A. And if anybody's interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
You're only seeing these things on your screen of consciousness now as images. Broken homes, broken marriages, broken bodies. But they began in the unconscious level where the world mind planted in you a seed. And each seed planted in you must become a visible experience. That visible experience, you then give the label and say, this is what I've got. But you haven't got that at all. What has happened is that from the invisible of your consciousness, a seed you did not know was there has grown into a tree, and it is now dropping fruit, and that is in your visible world. The image world is where you have seen the fruit of the tree of good and evil, and that fruit is very untasty at times. And it grows because the seeds of belief in your consciousness are there unknown to you. You did not know they were coming in. You did not know that they were growing up. You did not know about them until you began to suffer. The cause did not begin in you. The cause began in the world mind. And so, a very intelligent, infinite mind has provided you with a screen, a television screen called the world. And from the invisible of your consciousness, you automatically project the quality of your consciousness. You project into the world of images the fabric of your own consciousness. And when you label it this or that, you're really saying, this is the nature of my invisible consciousness. Because be sure of this, it isn't someone else's consciousness appearing on your screen. The problems you manifest are nothing more than your consciousness turned inside out like a reversible raincoat, from the invisible to the visible. That's what this world is all about. A place where you can project your consciousness. And then looking at the world of images, you can go back to your consciousness, which is the land in which the wheat and the tares are growing side by side. In duality. And finally, you come to the realization that there is no thing in this world which does not begin first in an invisible world. There's no child in this world that doesn't first begin in the invisible. No tree, no seed, no fruit, no flower, no animal. No animal, vegetable, mineral, or human begins in the visible. They begin in the invisible. And everything in this visible has a beginning in the invisible. That's what we all have in common. And therefore, if we were to live only in the visible, we would continue in the world of effect, never going into the cause of things, which is the invisible. And what is the cause of this imaged world that you live in? Your world is your consciousness. My world is my consciousness. And whoever is in this world is really in their own consciousness made visible. And so this is where the effects are in the world. That's the television screen where we can pick up what's right or wrong in our life. And now we go back into the invisible, into our consciousness, because there we're going to find what's happening to make our visible world of good and evil. It is there where we're going to determine a way of dominion over the outer world of experience. Now we look at our consciousness, and we see that it's subject to two forces. We're no longer dealing in the world of problems, because if you meet a problem in the effect world of problems, you're never going to get to the cause of it, which is in your consciousness. So you're in the invisible of your consciousness, and you discover that your consciousness has been fed by the wrong life stream, by the world mind. And that has brought forth the first birth, you, the image you. Your consciousness has brought forth the image you have called yourself. And your consciousness, which brought forth this image, has not been able to see reality directly. Because between your consciousness and reality, between your consciousness and the divine, there is the world mind, the glass darkly. And you're looking at the divine through the glass darkly of the world mind. And just like that photo engraving process I told you about, you're trying to make a photograph of the divine with your human consciousness. And there's a filter or screen between your human consciousness and the divine, and so you break the divine down into little dots of light. And then your consciousness projects these dots of light into the world as the image called you. These little dots of light, you know by now, are the atoms identified by science. Little dots of light, little worlds of electrical energy so placed together that they look exactly like you. And you call those little worlds of atoms you, not knowing that is the image cast forth onto the screen of time and space by your consciousness, and that it is your consciousness where you must live, and you must learn to tune out that world mind which is between you and the divine, to let not the dots, not the filtered light come through, but the direct divine light of the Father. And there's a way to do it. And the way is the only way that is prescribed by those who have done it. You'll find that when your mind, your consciousness, has developed the capacity to be a vacuum, that it no longer receives the filtered light of the world mind. It is closed to the filtered light of the world mind, and it becomes a clear plate of glass. Crystal clear glass. And just as Jesus walked through a wall that was only there to the human consciousness, the divine walks through the world mind and through the clear crystal glass of your consciousness, bypassing the activity of that world mind which breaks things up into little atoms, coming through the crystal clear glass of your consciousness which has been purified of thought. And that divine light is no longer separated atoms, no longer separated dots of light, but is the fullness of the Father, the wholeness of the Father, not little points of separation. And all that was missing out here in the image form, in the world of this human experience, was nothing more than gaps of light, which the divine now brings through. You become a living embryo in the womb of the Father. That new spiritual womb of silence is really no different than the womb you inhabited as an embryo before you became an imaged human self.
Yeah, I like what it says in the Bible, make thine eyes single. The idea of being double-minded, thinking with this mind that is literally a splitter. It divides that which is before it. And then by not operating that mortal mind which is creating this false appearance, this false sense of existence in silence and in stillness, we make the mind aware for the divine idea until the birth of Christ, which is the interpreter, which is what is going to make the divine idea comprehensive to consciousness. And then we cultivate that. As spiritual light begins to illuminate our thought, we're resting in the knowledge. Life is perfect. We are the image and likeness of the divine when we are in spiritual identity.
Well, we do need to close our program for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, when you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can choose from to enhance your spiritual advancement. Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and reveal the divine law of life. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.